Hello, welcome to the Phoenix and Sun Show, where science is stranger than fiction.
Welcome to the Phoenix and Sun Show. It's January 31st, 2010. This is episode 4, season 1.
I'm the Phoenix, your host.
And I'm the Dominator, your 9-year-old co-host. This is a podcast that brings you the latest science news every week.
We have over 500 new subscribers to this podcast. That's unbelievable. People from all over the U.S. are listening. People from Canada, Europe. We even have some listeners in the Gaza Strip.
Where's the Gaza Strip?
It's near Israel, right along the Mediterranean.
Cool. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We have a great show today, so we hope you enjoy it.
Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. We all know that talking on the cell phone while driving increases the risk of a crash. Turns out, driving distracts us from listening and talking too.
From the Journalist Economic Bulletin Review, you might think that talking is an easy thing to do and that comprehending language is easy, but it's not, explained Gary Dell, a psycholinguist at the University of Illinois. Speech production and speech comprehension are attention-demanding activities. And so, they ought to compete with other tasks that require your attention, like driving.
In other words, having a conversation on the cell phone while driving is not so easy for the brain.
Using a driving simulator, Dell and colleagues had volunteers work in pairs, one driving and one as a conversation partner, who was either in the simulator with the driver or talking with the driver from a hands-free cell phone from a remote location.
They swapped stories with the drivers, hearing and retelling them. In one test, the virtual car just sat there during the conversation. In the other test, the car was moving and the drivers were driving. Afterward, the drivers were quizzed on what they remembered. The drivers remembered 20% less of what was told to them when they were driving compared to when they were just sitting there, Dell said.
Declines in the accuracy of retelling the stories were most pronounced while the drivers navigated through intersections or encountered more demanding traffic conditions.
So your ability to speak and listen goes down the toilet if you're busy driving a car. The brain is having a tough time doing both at the same time, so language and driving ability suffer.
With modern technology, we're talking more and more while doing other things, but we may be understanding one another less and less, Dell said. What do you think, Dominator? Do you think that people who multitask are not good listeners?
Did you say something, Dad?
Forget it. Did you know that birds might actually be paying attention to humans? From New Scientist,
wild crows can recognize individual human faces and hold a grudge for years against people who have treated them badly. This ability, which may also exist in other wild animals, highlights how carefully some animals monitor the humans with whom they are sharing living space.
Field biologists wore rubber caveman masks. Sorry, that just sounds funny. So, these field biologists were wearing rubber caveman masks. Rubber caveman. Could you imagine biologists wearing caveman masks? It's so easy a caveman can do it. So, field biologists wore these ridiculous rubber caveman masks when capturing birds to tag them, so that they could later observe the birds without upsetting them. Whenever a person wearing the same mask approached those crows later, the birds scolded them loudly. Caw! Caw! Okay, that's my impression of a crow scolding. Caw! In contrast, they ignored the same person wearing a different mask. which had never been worn during the tagging.
Even more interesting is that the same crows remember the caveman mask. The bird's hatred for whoever wears the caveman mask has lasted more than 3 years, even though the crows had no further bad experiences with people wearing it. Talk about holding a grudge.
In other experiments, scientists captured more crows wearing 6 different masks. In each case, they found the crows recognized and scolded again, whichever mask they had seen when they were captured, but yet ignored the others.
This shows that crows pay close attention to humans.
We may think that they are just bystanders minding their own business. It's likely that they're incredibly perceptive of the dog and cat components of their environment as well.
Be nice to birds, or they will remember you and poop on your head. Time once again for
Mysterious Mystery.
The Megalodon was a giant prehistoric shark that measured somewhere between 50 and 100 feet. It was similar in appearance to a much bigger great white, which reaches lengths of only about 20 feet by comparison. It lived anywhere between 20 million and 500,000 years ago.
It's like a shark being about the size of a bus. Scientists believe that the megalodon is the largest predator to have ever lived in the sea. It probably ate whales and other large fish, and some people believe it may still even be alive in the deeper seas today. There have been several supposed sightings to this effect as well. Some people have dismissed these as great white sightings, but the megalodon could have swallowed a great white whale. So, this seems unlikely.
It seems unlikely that they could have survived all this time without being detected, as well as the fact that there are fewer large whale species today that they could feed on. However, if it had adapted to being a deep sea dweller, it is possible that it could still be down there.
The colossal squid, for example, is another extremely difficult to see species that was only recently proved to exist. If the megalodon is alive, it may well feed on species like the colossal squid, as well as whales and other deep-sea marine life, similarly to the sperm whale, which again is rarely seen except for when it surfaces to breed, something which a shark wouldn't ever need to do.
We have also explored outer space more than we have our own oceans, which means that there are certainly still a lot of species yet to be discovered. And that makes it a
Mysterious Mystery.
It's mysterically delicious. February 2nd, Tuesday, is
Groundhog Day!
Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, emerges from his burrow on Tuesday. If Phil doesn't see his shadow, he will leave his burrow, and that means that winter will end soon. However, if Phil the groundhog does see his shadow, he will scurry back to his burrow, and that means 6 more weeks of winter, or that's how the story goes.
Just how accurate is Punxsutawney Phil? Some say 75 to 90%. A Canadian study researched Phil's predictions for the last 40 years say that groundhog is 37% accurate. And finally, the National Climatic Data Center has put Phil's predictions at 39% correct.
Which is fine, since that's about as accurate as our local meteorologists.
Groundhog Day is also celebrated with lots of fun festivals and tons of food, so it's one big party.
Not all agree with this holiday, however. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, criticized the frenzied annual celebration this week. Give Phil a holiday this Groundhog Day, an entry on the organization's blog read. Tracy Ryman, the group's executive vice president, called for a robot stand-in.
Switching to a robot animal for Groundhog Day celebrations would be a win-win situation for the town. She wrote in a letter to Punxsutawney Ground Club's Inner Circle, which organizes the bizarre annual festival.
An animatronic groundhog would attract new and curious tourists, and the real groundhogs would finally get a good winter's sleep.
Groundhogs are typically shy animals and are likely to feel fear and stress when they are out of their burrows, according to PETA.
Could you imagine if they used a robotic groundhog instead this year? What if this thing went totally haywire?
Yeah, what if it had a malfunction and became a killer robot?
Okay, dream team.
Welcome to the 124th year we celebrate here in Gobbler's Knob. Let's get down to business. Boys, get Phil from his home. Oh my gosh, what's it doing? Ow, it's got a hold of my arm! It's biting me! It's going to attack the people! Run for your lives! Oh, I knew the Robo Groundhog was a bad idea!
If I see my shadow, it's going to be Groundhog Day. If I keep eating, I'm going to look like a cow. It's Groundhog Day.
Hey, I want to kill a Robo Groundhog for my birthday.
No chance. Well, everybody, that's all we have time for this week.
Yeah, we hope you had fun listening.
And that you learned something new.
You can find our podcast on DominatorsWorld.com or my dad's website, BlazingTalents.com.
If you have any comments or suggestions and you want to call our podcast hotline, call 206-339-6427 or you can just drop us a message on our websites.
Don't forget, you can also find our podcast on iTunes. Have a happy Groundhog Day on Tuesday. Woo!
This is a Phoenix and Sun show.
Science is stranger than fiction!
Groundhog Day! Groundhog Day! Ah!